So we're deep in the darkest storeroom, talking to the owner of GrowRight Horticultural Suppliers, Danny Dawson. Danny, we've got all the Autopot automatic watering systems around us. Just describe what the setup is. What does it do and how does it work?
Well, this is a simple to use. You have an aqua valve which releases water into the pot. It's all connected up to whatever size butt you need. As the plant needs the drink, it will take a drink through it. This rises to allow water in, and obviously when the water level drops, it comes back up, lets water in again. When it comes down, it goes back down, and then it needs to let water back in again.
So it's a little bit like a toilet, isn't it? A system.
Yeah, very much like a toilet. And the beauty of it is the plant is taking what it needs when it needs it, rather than us turning up and going, right, oh, you're going to have a litre of water now, see you tomorrow. So you don't need to be there every single day. You can go on holiday, it's still going to feed itself. You know what I mean? When you come back, you're still going to have healthy plants.
And it also avoids overwatering, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like I said, the plant will take what it wants and what it needs. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like I say, when we go in there and say, right, you're having a litre, it might not need a litre. Do you know what I mean? It might need 2 litres. It might not need watering that day. So, yeah, it takes away a lot of that guessing, I suppose.
And you've got several different setups. You can have multiple pot combinations, can't you? Just take us through the types of setups you've got available.
Well, you can start with one pot if you want and go up to hundreds and hundreds of pots. There's no real limit. The only thing that's going to restrict you is your water butt. Do you know what I mean? If you've got too many pots, obviously, that's going to run out of water pretty quickly. So... yeah, I mean, we've got 100 pot setups, 50 pot setups, 10, 5, 3, whatever you need, we can do it. You can add to them as well. You haven't got to buy, like if you was to buy, say you bought a 24 pot system, and then you thought, oh, do you know what, I've got more room for another 5 or 6. You can just add to it. Do you know what I mean? You haven't got to buy the whole system again, and you can just add each different one of these modules as many as you like. We sell all the little bits, we've got all the little fittings, extra pipe if you need it. So, yeah, it's all in stock.
And we can see we've got stacks and stacks of the different pots around us here. Square ones, round ones, they come in different sizes. And people actually have, you know, combinations of many, many, many pots on the systems, don't they?
Yeah.
Watering automatically.
Yeah.
So it's ideal, isn't it, for a domestic home setup. If you've got a big patio, if you've got a lot of containers, then this is the sort of thing that perhaps you should be thinking about to make sure that your plants are properly watered.
Yeah, and also, if you had a small enough tent and a big enough kitchen, you could have your own little things going on in there. So you could have your own herbs, spices, your own fruit growing in there. Like, my kids love the berries, strawberries, blackberries, blueberries. You could have all them in there, picking them off in the morning. Do you know what I mean? When I go to Sainsbury's or Tesco's and buy them, they're going off on the way home. Like, by the time I get home, they're green. Whereas these, you know, they're nice and fresh. Nothing's going to affect them if they're locked in a tent. Do you know what I mean? You shouldn't really get bugs. You shouldn't be affected by the weather because you're controlling that. Yeah, they are a really good system. Really good.
And that brings us on to hydroponic growing a bit more broadly, doesn't it? Because having those tents indoors, you mentioned there is a key thing, biosecurity.
Yeah, biosecurity. You are in control of all of that then. The only way you're going to bring in any pests or anything really is if you're... I mean, some plants outside will have things on them, spider mites and other... do you know what I mean? Other little things that are not going to do you no good. If they get on your clothes and then you go to your tent and they come off your clothes and onto the plant, obviously that's it, you're done. But as long as you can keep yourself clean and the environment clean, yeah, you shouldn't have a problem at all.
And that's probably the growth area, isn't it, for hydroponic growing, which is hobbyists, people in their houses. You have several different kind of setups that can be put on a tabletop in a kitchen area that can grow kind of microgreens, can't they?
Yeah, we have got a little system. They're not very big, but you could do little things on them, plug them in. Like you say, they sit on your counter. Do you know what I mean? So again, if you was going to have cress or whatever little things you could put in there, basil, like they said earlier, you know, you could just pull that off as you need it. That's the beauty, I think.
Yeah, and lettuce, things like that.
Yeah, little
simple
lettuce,
salads.
Yeah, little things you'll fit in there. I mean, they are small, but like we were saying earlier, I see a new one that's just come out where you can pull the light up. So bigger plants could go in it. Do you know what I mean? You're restricted with the height and the width on them little machines or them little modules. So, yeah, I think they're getting better. They are getting better.
And is that a big kind of growth area, do you see, for your business at GrowRight?
I think, yeah, that will be the way that we will all end up going. Because like we talked about, you've got vertical ways of farming now. There's so many different ways. And I think the more people try and do these things, better things are going to come out from it, you know? It's the experience, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. And it, in a way, it's very different, isn't it, to greenhouse growing or doing something outside. And we've learned during kind of lockdown, not everyone's got a garden, have they?
No. They're rare as stuff that comes
out. But everyone could grow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, everyone could. The kids, that's the kids. My kids love it. I've got four kids, and every one of them get involved with me. If they see me out in the garden, pick up, or even if I'm putting my gloves on, Dad, what are you doing? I'll come and help. Like, it's good to see them get into it. Then they see what's going on. Do you know what I mean? And hopefully, that will stick with them, and they'll all be growing their own things. Do you know what I mean? Probably better than what I could. But
no, surely not.
But no, you know, yeah, they do love it. The potatoes we do at home. Runner beans we do at home, peas, carrots, you know, easy for onions, beetroots, easy things to grow for your kids.
But if you live in an urban environment and you haven't got a garden, then these types of desktop LED lights, it doesn't use a lot of electricity, does it?
No, they're much more efficient than the old. Although it's still the same sort of ballast, there's technology in them now to help with the efficiency. You're going to, a 600 watt ballast now, you on that LED, is probably going to be 3/4 of the usage of what it used to be. Do you know what I mean? They come with a 3-year warranty. They're getting better. They're definitely getting better. And we've got them at the minute for $275.
So discounted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get them soon. Is there any truth to the thing with hydroponic growing indoors that you could perhaps speed up the growing process and grow the plants much quicker? I'm thinking, you know, in terms of keeping the lights, the LEDs on longer than perhaps maybe you should.
Yeah, no, your plant is still going to need sleep. And also, if it does get more than 12 hours, you're going to confuse the plant. It's going to start thinking, well, hang on, am I in veg or am I in flower? Like, do you know what I mean? The longer period is going to be for your veg, obviously. So I think you'll confuse the plant and you'll probably, if anything, make it go backwards. Right. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not. I would still 12 on, 12 off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
there are other ways. Don't get me wrong. There's another way where I think it's 5.5 hours on, then it's off for an hour, then it's back on for 5. There are other ways, and the plant will get a bit of sleep, and you are tricking it into thinking there's 2 days in one. But it's not something I would
recommend. No.
Yeah.
No. Let's go and have a look at the LED system. We'll go round. Walked up into the light in the storeroom here at GrowRight Horticultural Suppliers, and we're now looking at LED arrays. And that's the crucial thing to say about LED arrays. With things like the increase in electricity price, they don't consume huge amounts of electricity like lighting systems used to, do they?
Yeah, no, that is bang right. That is 100% right. And it's a much better light. The plant seems to perform a lot better under this than what it would under a HPS, which realistically, the old HPS lights were more for street lights. Do you know what I mean? This is more up the plant street.
Is that something about the colour of the light that comes from the LED and,
and
the street lights?
This was pretty much a new thing. They've kind of gone for get the fisherman, not the fish. Do you know what I mean? So everyone's going, oh, yeah, we'll get them lights. But in reality, yeah, that's not for. There's a saying that they have lumens are for humans. So, yeah, this is definitely the way forward, LED lighting.
So just describe what we're looking at here. We're looking at Affinity 3.0 Pro. These are big, what, 1.1 metres, did you say?
Yeah, this is an Amiga. This one's about 1.1, so they fit nicely into a 1.2 tent. But there's smaller ones. We've got adjuster watt, the Retro. That's 900, I think, or 910. So they're slightly ideal if you're going to daisy chain them in an area. Do you know what I mean? But majority of them, yeah, they are around about a metre, 1.1, and they should cover a 1.2 footprint.
If you've got a dark shed in your garden that you've never really used for growing or anything like that, you just keep machinery in or something, this sort of thing could change it, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I would say to line the shed as well, because you don't want light escaping. Mm-hmm. You want to try and concentrate that light in that area for the plants. So, yeah, 100% you could change that.
So that's like putting it in a tent, isn't it, essentially?
That is, yeah, but you would have to cut holes for an exhaust. and maybe because you want an exchange of air.
Mm-hmm.
You want to bring in a nice bit of fresh air and get rid of the old dirty air.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, a couple of holes and you'll be laughing.
Yeah, so you could turn that garage into a growing productive area.
Yeah, a more useful area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not have to spend out on a big expensive greenhouse or something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And also, you wouldn't, like we were saying earlier, you're not worried about, like, if it's really hot and you've got a glass greenhouse, it's going to get extraordinarily hot in there for the plants. And plants are like living people. Like, if we're all cramped in a place and then I start sweating and you'll start sweating, then I'm going to get the ump. The plants are going through the same things, do you know what I mean? Like, not necessarily identically the same, do you know what I mean? But you get the feel of what I'm saying.
We know if we water at the wrong times of day, then they wilt, don't they? And they don't get the benefit of the water because it evaporates.
So you can see what the plant will tell you if it's not enjoying it. Do you know what I mean? Like you're saying, wilting and things stretching. All them sorts of things are signs where you think, oh, hold up, something ain't quite right here. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? We need to address it.
So the other thing to say about LED arrays, they are cool to the touch. They don't heat up like traditional bulbs would heat up. So they're much easier to handle, much safer to handle.
Yeah, and it's easier to control the temperature of your tent. Because obviously with the old HPS, like you just said, if you went near it or touched it, you're taking the skin off your fingers. Whereas these, you could pick them up. I wouldn't advise it, but you can pick them up by the lights, by the lit up area, and you won't even feel it's warm. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, don't pick them up by that because you can end up damaging them. But, you know, you're not going to get burnt. You know, and it's easier. Your plants don't want to be too hot. They don't want to be too cold. You don't want too much of a difference between when the lights are on and when the lights are off. So, you know, this is a lot easier to control.
Let's turn our attention to below, because if you're growing under lights, then you've got to be growing in a media, haven't you? A medium for the plant. There are several different ways with the hydroponic systems to do that, isn't there? You could grow in soil, couldn't you, for a start? But then there are soilless systems. Can you explain a bit more about that for us, Danny?
Yeah, the soilless systems, I'll be honest, we don't sell many of them anymore. I think they're used to sell more than what we do now. I don't know if it's because they're not very forgiving. We don't sell many of them, aren't you, Lloyd? I'd love to say.
So probably for a hobbyist, they're going to be putting their plants into soil. So they need to have good quality compost, check it for maybe pests and diseases, don't they, before they put their plants in.
Yeah.
There's also ways to mist feed, isn't there, the root system?
Foliar feed, yeah. Yeah, foliar feeding, yeah, you just spray the leaves, basically, and the plant will take a lot more of the nutrient in if you're spraying it onto the leaf, yeah, rather than going through the root, because it's direct, it's straight into the plant. So, yeah, you can do foliar feeding. You can do that with, most of them. You can just knock up a little bit of mixture and spray away. Obviously, you don't want to do it when the lights are on. You want to try and do that as the lights go off, give them a little spray. You don't want the leaves being wet and then the lights come on because you're going to burn. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even though they are LEDs and we're saying that they don't give off a lot of heat, you're still going to get a little bit of scorched off of that. But, yeah, foliar feeding's good. It's underrated, I think.
And then just behind you've got lots of different chemicals, different feeds, different types of products available. So would you recommend some sort of supplement feeding with growing under lights?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah, we always do.
So why is that?
Well, these have got the bits in it that you're going to need. This has got, it's not a lot of, these have got in them what you're going to need to give the plant, which is your magnesium and your things like this, yeah? You can buy them separately and knock up your own type. But these, like, they're all done. They're off the shelf. People, you know, they're all brands that people know.
Yeah. You've got things like Dutch Pro, haven't you, front?
We've got Dutch Pro, we've got Canna, Athena, Monkey Nutrients, Hydrotops, Floraflex, Floramax, Advanced Nutrients, Shogun, that goes on and on. I can't think of all of them.
Because we then turn back to, well, if you use tap water to feed your plants, it's not going to have the same nutrients in it, the same, it might even have a little bit of chlorine in it. It should have some chlorine in it if it's tap water.
It will do that.
Although you can evaporate that off if you let it stand for a while. But rainwater is softer and easier on plants. We know this from general gardening because it's better to water from a water butt that's collected rainwater than just straight from the tap, isn't
it?
So that's why you're going to need supplements, isn't it?
Well, and also, like when you're saying about the tap water, you're going to have to then pH it to help the uptake of the nutrient. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to, you want your pH to be around it. A lot of these are all similar. Do you know what I mean? They want to be between 5.8 and 6.2. The water around here, I think, before you start, is around about 7. Yeah. So it is going to take, you know, you are going to have to alter that a little bit. Some of these will bring that down, or they will raise it. Depends on where you are and what one you're using. I don't really want to start shouting about brands, but Dutch Pro, like when we use that, I know that by the time I've put me exploding, that is coming down to 5.8.
So that, sorry, what do you mean when you say you're exploding?
there's a, but your, that is your booster, yeah? So right. From week two of flower, you start adding Explode. And obviously,
so that's the name of another product?
Yeah, that's the, yep. Yeah, that's the name, that's of their boost. Yeah.
Yep, right.
Canna's one is just Canna Boost. But yeah, they've all got their own little little names and ideas, I suppose. But yeah, I know that Explode will bring my pH down. So I ain't got to put acid in then, which is good. I don't want to keep putting acid in my water. Do you know what I mean? Where I am at home, the water coming out of the shower, it's like I'm getting sandblasted. Do you know what I mean? It's evil water. So, yeah, you would need some. I would definitely check your pH on your water.
So I bought a blue hydrangea yesterday from the garden centre in Ericaceous compost, okay, which I need to get to keep it blue, don't I?
Yeah.
So as a test, could we grow hydrangeas under the lights in different solutions and then end up with the different colours of flowers?
Very possibly, yeah. Yeah, I don't see why not. We could try it here if you want. Let's get a few in them over that little tent over there. We'll pull them blakes out. We get four different little hydrangeas in there. Well, four hydrangeas in there, and we'll use different things, different feeds. Yeah, that'd be
incredible.
Interesting.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. Just to see what colours they come up.
Yeah. And it'd be good on Instagram.
that would look amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah. Because they now have, I mean, traditionally you had the blue and the red, didn't you? But I now see at the garden centre you can get purples, you can get all many different colours. I know you can get white ones as well and things, but I don't know how much all of those other colours are down to just the pH value.
Possibly, but then I would imagine you'd work that out, because when you go home, a lot of growers are not going to worry about the pH or anything like this. Do you know what I mean? They're just going to water it and blah, blah, blah. So whatever happens, happens. So I'd imagine, on a more controlled environment, it wouldn't surprise me if they were different colours.
Wow.
With different things, yeah.
That would be really interesting. Really, that would be really good. Well, Danny, it's been fascinating to talk to you a little bit about hydroponic growing. Now, it sounds like you need to be a chemist in the kitchen, don't you, to be able to do this indoors. But actually, it's relatively simple, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it sounds a lot harder than what it is.
Yeah.
Plus, all of these nutrients, they all come with their own little grow chart with a step-by-step guide of how much you should put in, what goes in first, what goes in second. Yeah, it's all there. It's easy, really easy.
And if you're interested in the environment, then you don't get food that you grow with less food miles than this, because if it's growing on your kitchen worktop, then there you go.
Well, yeah.
You just pick it, don't you?
Exactly. You're not driving to Tesco's and watching it go off on the way home. No. So, or Sainsbury's or any other of the supermarkets that are available to us.
So one of the things we're trying to do with LED lights is to actually replicate what the sun does. And you've got some devices that will actually do that a bit more, won't you?
Yeah, you can buy these separate bars that just plug into your LED. This one we're looking at here is a UV light, so obviously more like the current bun. But you can add them to your system that you've already got, your existing system.
There are easy starter ways to start out in this, aren't there? So if someone came in with very little knowledge but was an interested gardener, then you could probably set them up with a very simple setup that would get them going under lights or whatever system they needed.
Yeah, we'd probably start them off with something very simple, because sometimes you can go in and buy these systems, you get a tent, a light, a fan, a filter, and it's all a bit, whoa, what's going on here? Do you know what I mean? So yeah, we'd start them off on something simple and see how they get on with it, because I don't want someone to come in, buy all this gear and go, wow, I can't even set this up and put it in the corner and never use it. I want them to come in and use it and go, right, Dan, what else can we do? Then we'll start throwing the other bits in. I mean, if I was only doing one or two, you probably could put them into an auto pot rather than I would always say try and use an auto pot or something that's going to automatically feed your plants because you haven't got to be there all the time. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to make a mistake. You knock up that water butt, you check your EC, you check your pH, and away you go. It's ready to feed itself. But yeah, it's definitely doable. You could do it for a couple of hundred quid, realistically.
Excellent. Danny Dawson, who is the owner of Grow Right Horticultural Suppliers in Basildon. You can order online from growright.co.uk. You can get all of the products that we've talked about through the website and mail order straight to your home and get growing straight away.